You know, being here in Winston-Salem, your name comes up pretty often when talking about Winston-Salem and film, and specifically School of the Arts. And I was wondering what your student films were like.
My student films were all over the place. My very first film was called We Lather Up My Rough House, and it was a comedic movie about the man that invented soap as if it was just invented recently, and he's trying to convince his roommate to take a bath with him. and that was a real fun one. I cast two of my classmates in, and they were actually incredible actors, and I would put that on a DVD other than I've got all a Menudo soundtrack that I don't think I could get the rights to all the good Menudo songs that I put in it. I made a movie called Pleasant Grove that ultimately became the feature film George Washington. It was kind of the seed of that idea, exploration of those concepts, and so I made it my second year of college, and it stuck with me over the next few years. And then I made a documentary about the artificial insemination of the Angus cow that we shot out in Greensboro. And that was kind of cool, getting very graphic illustration of what it takes to inseminate cattle. and then I did a movie about three guys trying to milk a horse called A Biography of Barrels. It was kind of a comedy western. That was fun. I remember that was Paul Schneider, an actor that I've worked with a number of times, was in that one. And Nate Meyer, a Greensboro local that was a film student at the School of the Arts, and Chad Hanley. And that was one that I really put a positive pride on, is kind of having a very challenging dramatic verse comedic tone.
You were not bound by genre from the get-go.
Not in any way. I really love just kind of playing with it in comedy or drama or documentary. I even acted in one of Danny McBride's early student films. He couldn't find a dude that would do full frontal nudity in a short film, and so I was happy to you know, drop trow and give him what he needed.
You were the guy. Yeah. Speaking of Danny McBride and Paul Schneider, so some pretty important relationships developed there. Was it always a plan for you guys to find ways to work together after you got out of school?
Absolutely. You know, it's just, and when you meet a good group of people, it's like starting a band. You know, if everybody finds a rhythm and finds a commonality, a common taste.
Well, we've touched on this a little already, you know, that you've made films in a variety of genres, and something I always appreciate as a viewer is the way you work comedy in so often, and not just in films, you know, like Pineapple Express, which is clearly a comedy, but even going back to All the Real Girls and, you know, recent things like Prince Avalanche. Is this just a natural way that you write, or are you conscious of wanting to add some levity in there?
I always want to add levity. I think just the production process demands it. In terms of my mentality, I try not to get overwhelmed and melancholy and dark subject matters, but bring an authenticity to them. And in an effort to do that, I need to make sure that there's a balance of lightness and laughs.
Well, your latest film, Joe, which will be screening here at the River Run International Film Festival, stars Nicolas Cage, and it's an adaptation of a novel which Gary Hawkins turned into a screenplay. What drew you to this work and made you want to adapt it?
Well, Gary Hawkins was one of my professors at School of the Arts, and just a real influential voice in my taste and development in education, and he'd introduced me to the work of the writer Larry Brown. He was working on a documentary series called The Rough South and had chosen Larry as a profile, and so I worked as a production assistant on that movie and got to know Larry and got to know the book Joe, and it really stuck with me over the years. Larry passed away several years back, and after he did, Gary said, "Hey man, I've done an adaptation of Joe. I'd like you to take a look at it." And when I read it, I just immediately was drawn to it and needed to make it and needed to find the right time in my life and the right backdrop and the right leading man.
Based on the trailer, it looks like a pretty intense film. And what can River Run attendees expect from Joe?
Well, it deals with some dark subject matter, for sure. It's Nicolas Cage in a very restrained performance, unlike any of the roles that he's done before. We're trying to really, you know, a man that has as diverse a range and resume as he has, we wanted to make something that was very distinctive for him. Features a supporting role from Ty Sheridan, who was the star of the movie Mud last year and was in Tree of Life a couple of years ago. Just a great young up-and-coming actor. And it's kind of even though they're not related by blood, it's kind of a father-son story as Cage takes Ty under his wing and how their characters, you know, navigate some of the cultural and domestic obstacles that they face. It's really a story of redemption.
Your characters always seem to have a real emotional life. There's always a poetry in their thoughts, and I mean sometimes in their language too, but you'll often use narration to convey this, and sometimes it highlights some of the contradictions in these characters. Is the difference between what's on the surface and what's internal something you try to explore?
Sure, you know, and it depends from project to project and character to character how you want to illustrate that. And in particular with Cage and Joe, he doesn't need to say that much. He's got that look in his eye, and the way he stands, his posture and physicality says a lot. Other times you want to get more into the internal monologue. So it's different with every movie. You know, sometimes you want to have the expository narration and make sure everybody's in on the plot, and other times leave it up to ambiguity and everybody's imaginations to try to fill in the blanks.
Is it usually all on the page before you start filming, or are you a director that likes to have actors improvise on set?
I insist actors improvise.
Okay.
It is just a way that you can take away some of the preparation, some of the discipline and manicure polish of a performance. I like to have a character not know what he's going to say next, that look in their eyes, they're thinking, that you don't know how to react to someone until they've said what they're going to say, and you know, have a great architecture and blueprint of a screenplay, but at the same time, you want it to feel real. You want these characters to say what they would say, and once you've cast the movie, I leave the script behind to some degree and let the performance speak for itself.
So do you not do much in pre-production, like as far as rehearsals?
My rehearsals are not memorizing and blocking rehearsals. My rehearsals are getting to know everybody and forming that trust, that bond, that friendship that's going to take us safely into some strange places.
A lot of your films are really often exploring the intimate, but they're shot in really bold and scenic ways. Do you work with the same cinematographer often to get, you know, get this kind of look?
I do. Tim Orr, who I graduated from School of the Arts with, and is from Hendersonville, North Carolina. We just finished our 10th film together.
Wow.
The first time we worked together, anyway, was on our artificial insemination documentary. So I remember just driving around listening to good music with him, and then we'd go catch shows at Cat's Cradle, and got to know each other, and our sensibility and instinct and taste in movies was very similar. So when I got out of school and we were putting together my first feature, he quickly came to mind, and I offered him the gig, and we've been working together ever since.
You've directed a lot of episodes of Eastbound and Down and Service Producer, and it's got so many things that set it apart from your usual TV comedy, but that cinematic feel and the way it's shot and edited, it seems to be something that really heightens the drama amidst, you know, all the sometimes absurdities and helps to humanize Kenny Powers. How much influence do you have over the tone of that show? And I know as it went on, it seemed like you maybe even got more involved.
I do feel like Jody and I have very individual fingerprints that we put on the episodes. And I think you can tell, people that are really familiar with the show can tell who directed which episodes. But I think one of the things that we all want to do as collaborators is push the tone of comedy, push the technical ambition of comedy. You know, a lot of people think, oh, as long as it's funny, everything's cool, right? You just need to have a few laughs. But if something looks nice and you've shot it well and you've got some imagination to the composition and you've got performance that aren't just spitting out jokes but actually have some depth and detail to them, it just makes it that much more memorable. And I like to challenge people's emotions as well, say things that are funny that you feel ashamed that you're laughing at, or challenge people with the drama that ekes in a few absurdities that kind of make you crack a smile, and do a spit take every now and then when you, you know, want to raise your eyebrows just the things that Kenny says.
Yeah. Well, mission accomplished on that, I'd say. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Good talking to you, man.